Hi, this is Alan Chartok. I'm here in the Congressional Corner with Congressman John Faso of New York's 19th District. Well, you caused quite a kerfuffle because it's been announced that you're going to be on WAMC. People have been calling in thoughts and ideas. So let me ask you about this, Planned Parenthood. After the question of the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, this is something I've heard the most of, and that is the ability to, or the desire by some to do away with money for Planned Parenthood.
Well, let's make it plain right up front. Under the current law, under federal law, Planned Parenthood or other providers may not use federal funds, may not use federal money to pay for abortions. That's the longstanding Hyde Amendment, and that's something that I've always supported. I support that provision. However, I don't think we should be using federal law, particularly in this health insurance reform effort, to deal in a punitive way with an organization which some people may not like politically. So I don't support this effort to defund an organization which is providing routine healthcare services to people and which is doing so under auspices of state licensure and within the regulation of the state law. That's appropriate. And, you know, Alan, to me, it's the same issue. We shouldn't be punitively singling out a group that some may not like, just like it was wrong for the Obama administration and Lois Lerner to penalize through the IRS conservative groups that they didn't like. And that's just as wrong as if you use the power of the government. See, I'm a limited government guy. I have always been a limited government person, and I just am uncomfortable with the notion that we're going to single out groups that some may not like. And look, most of the people that were, you know, the pro-choice advocates weren't supporting me in the election, but that's regardless. That doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is the principle that power of government shouldn't be turned against someone just for political purposes. That, to me, is what's wrong about this initiative.
We've been sitting by our televisions watching the Trump cabinet appointees being paraded before the Senate. Are you happy with what you're hearing? Are you happy with the selections?
Well, I think some of them I've known and heard of over the course of many years, and others I'm really not as familiar with. But I think here's the principle, and I'm not a member of the Senate, as you know, Alan, so I don't get a vote on this. Here's what my thought is. I think a president, an executive, a governor, or a president gets to choose under our system the people that he or she is comfortable with working with to run these agencies. They have enormous discretion in that selection. And unless there's a matter of unethical or criminal conduct or some other matter of moral turpitude, etc., I think by and large, the appointees of a president, the nominees of a president or a governor, should be afforded that respect and should be approved. Just like I thought the nominees of President Obama should have been approved, even if I may not have agreed philosophically with them, he was elected president. He is owed, to my way of thinking, under our system, that deference to have appointees who he chooses to run the cabinet organizations and the administrative organizations under our system. So unless it's a matter of illegality or unethical conduct, I think that the president's nominees should be given some deference.
And yet you sit there by the television like the rest of us and say, don't you ever say, I wouldn't have done that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, I often listen to you on WAMC and I say, I wouldn't have said that, Alan. But no, but seriously, I do think that there's a certain amount of deference. And I know that there are people on the left that get themselves agitated and upset. And there were people on the right that got themselves agitated and upset when President Obama was president about some appointees. It's just, I think it's mostly not a good exercise of effort in that regard.
So let's talk about a little bit about Donald Trump himself. Have you met with him yet?
No.
That was fast.
Well, it was a question that I could answer with a simple one-word answer.
Do you want to meet with him?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
I'd like to meet with him as a I think our 9-member House delegation of Republicans in New York, I think it would be great for us to meet with him together to just talk about some New York-specific things that we hope to accomplish.
John Faso, I guess the next question I want to ask you is about the Russians. There's a good deal that's been made. I'm still scratching my head about why the president is so tough on China, but so approach-oriented on Vladimir Putin and the Russians. Got any insights?
I don't. I mean, I frankly do not trust Vladimir Putin. I do not trust. I'm very disturbed by many of the things that have been alleged about him, the political assassinations, the war that he's waging in the Ukraine, the threats perhaps to the Baltic states. I do think that it's absolutely true that we need to have a productive, engaging relationship with Russia, but we need to be doing it with our eyes open. I'm uncomfortable with some of the praise that I've heard about him being a strong leader and things like that, because, hey, look, when you can crush your political opponents, either economically or financially or politically, that really doesn't comport with what my notion of a strong leader would be. I think, though, that some of the there's no evidence that the Russians affected the outcome of the election. I think that's speculative. And I think it's important also, particularly for my friends on the left, to remember that the Russians have been trying to influence public opinion and policy in the West for many years. Harken back to when the KGB files were opened after the collapse of the Soviet Union. It turned out the Russians were financing the nuclear freeze movement in Europe. They were the ones behind the multi-million people marches in Europe against the placement of defensive missiles in Western Europe by the United States. It was a political exercise. The Russians were attempting to manipulate Western public opinion, both in Europe and in the United States. And many of my friends on the left seem oblivious to this and have forgotten if they ever knew. So the notion that the Russians are trying to influence our public opinion and are trying to have an influence in the German public opinion today is nothing new. We need to make sure that we are forearmed and aggressively alert to these type of efforts to influence our public opinion and act accordingly.
And it's not offensive to you that it was done on one side but not the other?
Of course it's offensive to me. It's offensive to me that the Russians would attempt to manipulate public opinion. But again, they're always going to try to do this, and we just need to be open and aware and aggressive about our response. And some of our aggressive response should not become public. It should be done stealthily.
Friend, Republican Congressman John Faso of New York's 19th District. John, you're always welcome here in the Congressional Corner. We hope you'll keep coming back. It's been a great thing to have you here with us.
Thank you, Alan.